Hello, respected viewers. Today is Hitler's birthday, and his name is synonymous with evil. Most people would know he was Chancellor of Germany from 1933 till his death in 1945, President from 1934 onwards, combined the two offices as Führer and so on, and he's the one who caused the Second World War, the bloodiest war in human history. So he was egregiously racist and particularly anti-Jewish. There's Godwin's Law since the 90s. An American academic said, as soon as Hitler is brought up in a conversation, you know the less rational it is. Reductio ad Hitlerum, constantly likening your opponent to this or Nazism. So, yeah, he was a very, very bad man indeed. I mean, bad doesn't even begin to cover it. So just because I'm making this video on this topic, don't wrongly imagine that I have any sympathy with his detestable ideology. He was born in 1888. And in his autobiography, Mein Kampf, as in Mein Struggle, he says, today it seems to me providential that fate should have chosen Braunau am Inn for my birthplace. For this little town lies in the border between the two German states. By the two German states, he meant Austria and Germany, and Germany being united into the Second Reich in 1871, so only 18 years before his birth. And then he saw it as his historic destiny to reunite Germans, but also to subjugate people in Eastern Europe, to reduce them to enslavement and so on, getting Lebensraum. And he had such severe nightmares as a child that he was referred to a psychiatrist, although they don't think he was sent. So perhaps medical historians can do some work on that. And there have been psychological profiles that were made. In the Second World War, the United States government had psychologists profile Hitler and try and guess his next move. And they correctly surmised that he would not surrender, that he would not try to negotiate peace, nor would he run away, go into hiding. He would either go and get himself killed in battle or he would commit suicide. And there was some speculation after the war, did he actually commit suicide? Was that a double? Did he run away? Was he hiding in Argentina? Did he get to a U-boat sail to Thule, this mythical land at the far north? Things like that. But I mean, the Soviets recovered a fragment of his cranium, which apparently they only reduced with quicklime in the 1970s. But you know, much of his suicide was announced on the 30th of April 1945. There was some speculation, even at the Potsdam Conference in July 1945. There was debate, was he dead or not? The different Allied leaders, Churchill, Stalin, President Truman, were asking each other what had befallen him, and they weren't quite sure, not quite trusting each other. It was the beginnings of the Cold War. So, yeah, Adolf Hitler, who had no middle name, in his father had been born, I think, Schickel Gruber as a surname. And then later on, he was born outside of wedlock in those days when that was seen as opprobrious, well, as disgraceful, really. And they used opprobrious terms for children like this. But later he was adopted by a man who recognized paternity and said, given the surname Hitler. But had it actually been Schickel Gruber, maybe history would have been rather different, as that wouldn't roll off the tongue, Heil Schickel Gruber. But Hitler is derived both from Hutler, as in one who lives in a hut, and apparently he's got some Czech origins. So he wasn't completely ethnically German or Austrian. He was a little bit Czech several generations before. And of course, he despised Slavic people, maybe not so much the Czechs, but certainly the Poles, claiming they were subhuman, despite their phenotype being completely the same. Now, people of all phenotypes, they're all human, and no one should be mistreated. No one's worse or indeed better for his or her phenotype. But he didn't view it that way. Where does racialism come from? Obviously, you know, we've been around for up to 6 million years, depending on how you define a human being, Homo sapiens or slightly earlier versions of our species. And so we were cave dwellers fighting over resources and seeing the other tribe, friend or foe. The safest assumption was they're a foe. Whoever reacted strongest and fastest against danger was more likely to survive. And so on, thinking stranger danger, that someone you don't know is an enemy, being like that. So it's probably human nature, a bad side of human nature, as in to be hostile to others. And there's a selfish gene, people who have a similar phenotype, they look similar, you recognize them as relatives, even very, very distant relatives. And those who look more different are less closely related. So the selfish gene, Richard Dawkins saying, why do we love our families? They love us. They help us. We help them back. So there's some mutuality there, as well as just the bonds of affection from cuddling when you're little and so on. But you want to survive. That's where you eat. That's where you drink. You seek shelter and warmth, where you avoid excessive heat and so forth. You seek medical care. You seek wealth to build up resources so you can survive and want your children to survive. So you also want your progeny to go on. And then seeing the other ethnic group as possibly a threat to that because you're fighting over scarce resources. But you care more about your siblings than your cousins and more about your first cousins than your second cousins. And the further and further out, the less and less you care about them. And people who look very, very different, you think, well, we don't share that much DNA with them, don't care that much about them. Now, obviously, you've got to get beyond that. Some human instincts are bad and be compassionate for people of every race. We're all human. Just because people look a bit more similar to me doesn't mean that I've got that much in common or automatically like them. There's this imagined community, nations, they are imagined to some extent, you know, other Irish people and indeed all British people. I don't have that much in common. I might have more in common with a Bolivian or a Japanese or a Burundian or whatever, even though I've never been to their country or might have a common language, might have a similar personality type. Perhaps that matters more, hobbies, interests, values, opinions, and so forth. So Hitler, violently intolerant, beaten by his father, maybe to an unusual amount. His father died when Hitler was 14. His mother died of breast cancer when he was 18. Where did this anti-Semitism came from? Suppose he's a teenager, he fell in love with a Jewish girl from a wealthy family and was stalking her, was fixated with her, looking at her from a distance, but didn't have the courage to approach her and had a fantasy that they would just jump off a bridge together and commit suicide. And she got engaged to a man from an wealthy family, an eligible bachelor. That was that. Was it somehow vengeance on Jewish people because of this? Or his army officer in the First World War, Hugo Guttmann, who was Jewish, who wouldn't promote him and so on. Was it vengeance for that and so forth? So goodness. And perhaps there was the contortion of his mind in the First World War. Other thing is, when he was not doing very well before the First World War, rejected twice from architectural school, wandering around Vienna, sketching buildings, pretending to be an architect. And he came across anti-Semitic pamphlets influenced by Karl Luger, the mayor of Vienna, Der Schöne Karl, and member of the Christian Social Party. And Luger, though he did a lot for the poor, he was a vicious anti-Semite. And Hitler seems to have drunk deep of this and read these anti-Semitic pamphlets, believe every crackpot theory, the protocols of the Elders of Zion and so on. And though anti-Semitism was fairly widespread in Austrian society, often it usually wasn't violent. I mean, I can't think of any anti-Semitic murders at the time. And Hitler disliked the cosmopolitans of Vienna. Why live there then? Remember, it was the capital of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, which was like up to a dozen European countries these days, or at least parts of those countries. So it's polyglot, although, of course, German was the official language. So goodness, he was egregiously cruel. And though he was very emotional in some ways, he was able to numb his emotions and simply switch off compassion for certain categories of people, describing them as being subhuman. And sadly, it's a trait you see in a lot of people today. But, you know, he did have a softer side. He cared about Magda Goebbels and the marital problems and things like that. He could be affectionate towards children or like deer, feeding deer from his hand and so on. Friend of animals, one of the photos shows him as. And some people thought that someone who's gentle like this couldn't be murderous, but he certainly was murderous on an absolutely huge scale. And so certain ethnic groups just didn't count for him. And no matter how cruel he was, no matter how much suffering he inflicted, he thought that was absolutely right. And it's staggering. And that's why some people couldn't quite understand it, who thought in the middle of the war, some top-ranking Nazis, even they blanched at the Holocaust, thought, well, the Fuhrer mustn't know because we think he's a good person. Surely, okay, they're going to discriminate against Jews, but they're not going to annihilate a whole ethnicity. Maybe he's not been informed, but I mean, of course he knew exactly what was going on, even when they went up to tell him. So that's why these very, very evil people can still be loving to some people. And that's what's so shocking about it. Goodness, what could have been prevented? How could have been prevented? They say if Gustav Stresemann had lived a bit longer, there wasn't the Great Depression. I'm not sure what else. If the DNVP, DVP hadn't gone into coalition with him, if the army had overthrown him at some point, if the Kaiser hadn't been dethroned, obviously the First World War had been avoided, lots of things. There'd been robust democracy because he dismantled democracy completely within about a year and a half and introduced a totalitarian system, which is violently intolerant of even the mildest dissent. And obviously had 360-degree propaganda, constantly brainwashing people. And it took decades to get out of people. And that's why, you know, so a lot of Germans several years after the war still thought Nazism was mainly good, or Germany wasn't responsible for the war. I mean, obviously, that's obviously all gone now. Germany reacted the right way after 1945, certainly the Federal Republic of Germany, by becoming the most humane country in the world and saying in their constitution, the death penalty is abolished. That's the shortest article in their constitution. The death penalty is abolished. It's only four words in German. I know it's five in English. No ifs, no buts, no exceptions, and so on. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. So make sure you resist totalitarianism and genocide.